All right, do 37, anybody? Repeat after me. Prasannatma.
Prasannatma.
Prasannaha atma.
Prasannaha atma.
Swarupam.
Swarupam.
Yasya.
Yasya.
Prasannatma.
Prasannatma.
Yadva.
Yadva.
Prasanna.
Prasanna.
Swabhavaha.
Swabhavaha.
Prasanna swabhavaha.
Prasanna swabhavaha.
Karunikaha.
Karunikaha.
Ityartha.
Ityartha.
So, if you remember in 236, it was Suprasadaha. Suprasadaha means the one prasada, but it's as a name for Ishvara. The prasada is just the grace, the blessing. We receive that prasada, Bhagavan gives it by his being. His blessing is Suprasadaha. So here, Suprasannaha is the one whose mind has deep shanti. So Swamiji says, here for Prasanna, the one who is ever satisfied, means ever satisfied is the shanti in the mind reflects the ananda of the self. And that tushta, that satisfaction, is what is your nature. Your nature is that deep well-being, deep sense of satisfaction that Swamiji is calling it Prasanna. So Prasanna means the mind is, you know the word prasada? Prasanna is a past passive participle of prasad, right? Where the da goes to a double na, so prasannaha. So it means the one whose mind is blessed, one whose being itself is blessed. He is prasanna, okay? So Swamiji, let's translate this, and then I want to actually go through some of the things that Swamiji says in his commentary that are important for us. So he says, Shankara says in his little vritti, Prasannaha atma, the swarupam. So here the one atma means, so listen to this, prasannaha atma swarupam. That means the atma here means swarupa, the one whose nature is prasanna. Okay, so prasanna atma, prasanna atma means prasannaha atma. So prasanna atma, prasannaha atma. Atma means swarupam, yesya, the one whose nature is prasannaha, shanti. Yatva, or whose nature is the very, is whose very being is that prasanna. Yadva, or yad, that which, prasanna swabhavaha karunikaha ityartaha, or the one whose nature means how that manifests in the mind. So the swarupa of the atma is the nature of the atma. One swabhava, we're often talking about the prakriti then, means how is that mind, how does that manifest in the mind so prasanna swarupa is the atma, the one who, that is his very nature. But the prasanna swabhava is karunika, compassion.
Oh, karunika is
compassion. Compassion. So that prasanna manifests in the mind as compassion. Swamiji sometimes used to say, I don't know how to say it, how he says it, because when he was saying it, it's not like he's talking about himself or bragging about himself. He just says, no one, I've heard him say it over the many, many years, just a handful of times. No one can understand the depth of my compassion. But he's talking from a standpoint of his own wonder, the own wonder of that compassion that is manifest in his mind. Because that's the swabhava. That compassion is the swabhava of the atma in the mind. So when that antakarana shuddhi is there, the compassion in the mind is beyond one's imagination, because it's not a compassion just born of dharma or born of antakarana shuddhi. It's the it's the nature of the atma in one's reflected in one's mind, And it is an infinite grace, infinite compassion. So here it says, Prasanna Atma Swarupam Yasya, the one whose very nature is Prasanna, a complete blessing coming from Prasad, whose nature is that Prasanna, or the one for whom that Prasanna is manifest in the mind as Karunika, as compassion. It's very beautiful. Mm-hmm. Now
so,
here...
So he didn't create that compassion.
No, it's the nature of the self in the mind. So here, this is what I wanted you to see here. There is a term that comes up over and over again. It's called hetu-madbhava. Hetu means a cause, just like cause-effect, hetu. Hetu-mat, that which has the cause. That would be the effect. So hetu is the cause, hetu-mat is the effect. And so it's called hetu-hetu-madbhava. So here, or for this one, it's hetu-hetu-mat-sambandha. Sambandha means the relationship. There's a cause-effect relationship. So hetu is cause, hetu-mat, that which has the cause. Mm-hmm. So hetu-hetu-mat-sambandha. There is a cause-effect connection here, okay, between what? Suprasadaha, which is the previous number, 236, previous nama, and prasannatma. There's a hetu-hetu-mat-bhava. So Swamiji first is talking about this particular hetu-hetu-mat sambandha from the standpoint of the jiva, which is normally how we take it. So he says here, like this, so you have to try to follow me here. Between the prasannatma, the self which enjoys that shanti, and suprasada, you know, the one who blesses, gives that blessing, there is a hetu-hetu-mat sambandha, a relationship as cause and effect, okay, between these two namas. Hetu is cause, and that which has the cause is hetu-mat. Okay? Here, there are two conditions. Prasannata, the state of being that shanti, and prasada, that blessing, where one condition is prior to the other, right? Because cause and effect. So he's looking at these two terms, one is being prior to the other, one causing the others. So what he says here, for us as a jiva, the prasannata comes from the prasada buddhi. I gain that peace, that shanti, from that prasada buddhi attitude where I'm receiving, where I take everything that comes my way as prasadam from Ishwara. So it's so in the temple, after you've gone through the puja, Bhagawan, the pujari is handing out prasad, which is coming directly from Ishwara. So I accept that prasad, I welcome that prasad, I cherish that prasad. All is coming directly from Bhagawan. That attitude gives me that prasanna, that beautiful shanti. So he says, prasannata comes from the prasada buddhi for the jiva. So between them, there's a hetu-hetu-mat-bhava, okay? That relationship. Prasannata is the effect, and the prasada buddhi is the cause. Everybody see that? I'm accepting everything as coming from Ishwara as prasad, and that gives great shanti to my mind, that attitude. This is true with reference to the jiva individual. But these two are names for Ishwara. So now it's going to be a little different. So he says, here we are talking of Ishwara as the prasannatma, right? The word for Ishwara. It has already been said that the name of the Lord is Suprasada. So we have two names for the Lord, Suprasada and now this Prasannatma. Okay. So he says, he is the Prasannatma, he is Suprasada, he blesses you with his Prasada, his grace. Okay. Therefore, with reference to Ishwara, his being, Prasannatma, right, is the Hetu, and his being, Suprasada, is the hetu-mat. See what I mean? His being is that, the atma is the deep shanti, the deep ananda. And that ananda is the prasad, manifest as the prasad. So it's the opposite.
Could you say it one more time?
Well, for the jiva, it's that prasada buddhi where I accept all of the results of my action, for all of my experience, accepted as prasad from Bhagawan. And that gives me a deep prasanna, a deep shanti. Mm. But from the standpoint of Ishvara, the Atma Swarupa, the very nature of Ishvara, the Atma, is prasanna, right? Mm. And it is that prasanna which becomes prasad, right? Which manifests as prasad to the devotees. Mm. So his very being is the blesses. Mm. His very being is the blessing. So the blessing comes from his being, so it's the opposite, in other words. So he says, therefore, with reference to Ishvara, his being prasannatma is the hetu, and his being suprasada is the hetu mat. So anyway, it's something to reflect on. It's really very beautiful, you know. And what it says also is that your very being is prasadam. The Atma is continually blessing you, blessing all beings. And for somebody like Swamiji, or somebody who's very mature in this knowledge, being in their presence is your, you feel blessed by being in their presence. But what is making you feel blessed is the nature of their being, which is not blocked or dimmed by pratibandhikas, by obstructions, you know, ashuddhis in your mind. He doesn't have that. And so it's just
one of the guys.
Yeah. So it's just coming straight through. The very nature of the self is not dimmed by the problems we have in our mind and things like that.
Yeah.
So it's a very
it's a different kind of mind.
Well, it's a mind that has antakarana shuddhi and is matured into this knowledge, so that what is most like a bee to honey, you can use it as a bee goes to honey. The mind is always circling the Atma. Instead of circling things here, it's circling the Atma, right? As the most beloved. So as that becomes, that vairagya becomes complete. Vairagya, this idea of dispassion, is not a negative concept. It's that for the jnani, that vairagya, or that dispassion toward the world, is just that I don't ask the world to be other than what it is. I just accept it as Ishvara, because what I was seeking from the world, I have discovered to be my own nature. And so just like for an ajnani, your mind is circling, kind of like a bee, it's circling the things that you've projected, that ananda, your mind circles it, wants it, tries to get rid of the obstructions. But once the source of that ananda is discovered as to be the Atma, then the mind is circling that with no obstructions. There are no obstructions because there's no distance between the mind and the self, and the self is changeless. Nobody can take it away. You can't take it away. Your vrittis can't take it away. Your emotions can't take it away. The mind is always, the self is always there, completely present, completely, fully present to whatever experiences are here. So you take all the experiences, internal and external, as Bhagawan, or the mind, with the mind being rooted in the ananda of your own being. You don't have to work at rooting your mind in the ananda of yourself. Your mind naturally roots itself in ananda, right? It always goes toward ananda. If you happen to, for samsara, you believe that the ananda is out here somewhere. And so the mind will go there like a bee to honey, because it believes the ananda is there. You know, because whenever you fulfill a desire, you get a little glimpse of ananda. And so the mind believes that's where it is. It's here. No, it's here. It's here. It's here. And it keeps dripping off whatever you've landed on, so it's not really there. But so that's not work on your part. That's the very nature, that's the pravritti. The very nature of the mind is to go toward ananda. Now what happens then when the mind discovers the source of that ananda that it had been projecting on the world? It naturally goes toward the ananda itself. But as that conversion takes place from the externalized ananda to my own nature, There's several pratibandhikas because of habitual ignorance. I've always thought of this as my happiness, and I've always needed this to be happy. So it takes a while for the mind to unwind, you know, from these projections. But as time goes on, more and more and more, the mind is just naturally drawn to your own being, to the source itself.
So you don't have to train the mind to do that.
It does it with knowledge, but the thing is that there is some training. Swamiji wouldn't necessarily use the word training, alertness.
Okay.
Because your mind habitually,
yeah,
for some time, even though you know, you act like you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're acting like you don't know, when your behavior is the behavior of an agnani,
yeah,
when it doesn't have knowledge,
yeah,
those moments are your sadhana. The sadhana has to do with bringing your mind back to yourself. It also has to do with working on the unconscious complexes that are being triggered,
mm-hmm,
and bringing those little ones back to yourself. But it's, you're working with it on a different edge.
And you, Carol, even for a jnani, when there's extreme physical discomfort,
very challenging.
Then it's very challenging, right?
It's very challenging. Swamiji said when he was in.
Yeah.
What's challenging?
Extreme pain, physical pain.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, trauma's very challenging, too.
What's the matter, Tibby?
Tibby.
It sounds like she's got something.
No,
she
no, she would just...
No, she just wants some treats.
She wants treats.
Okay, so everybody clear on this? This is, in fact, if you've got the book, do you have this book?
I don't. What's
yeah.
the name of it?
Vishnu Sahasranama. You can order it from the bookstore. It's a beautiful book, so it's worth getting. Yeah. I'll show it to you. If you have a camera, you can take a picture.
Right.
Okay. Okay, so let's go ahead and do a couple more.
Okay.
238, Vishwadrik. Vishwam. Vishnoti.
Vishnoti.
Drishnoti.
Drishnoti.
Iti Vishwadrik.
Iti Vishwadrik.
So this drik comes from the root drish, which means to surpass, aspirate, the dental, the drish. So, Vishwam Drishnoti. Swamiji translates this, Vishwam Drishnoti, the one who surpasses the universe.
Yeah.
There's nothing in the universe that is greater than Bhagavan, including the whole universe. Because the whole universe comes from him, is sustained by him, and goes back into him, and resolves into him. Also, when we take the word Bhagavan, we're talking about the six Bhagas, the Aishwarya, overlordship, Tejas, you know, the Yeshas, fame, Viryam is strength, Vairagya is dispassion, Yeshas, shame,
yes.
I said that, Vidya, Jnanam, knowledge, Aishwarya, overlordship. That's
it,
isn't
most
it?
Of them.
So anyway, so Swamiji said, Jnana Aishwarya Shakti. Shakti. Shakti is the one. Okay. Because he has those in full measure. There's nothing lacking. So there's nothing that within duality that can surpass him, because he has everything in full measure. So it's not possible. So Vishwadrik. He says, he excels and surpasses everyone in this Vishwa, including Brahmaji. Because Brahmaji comes from him. Then, Vishwabhuk. Vishwabhuk.
Vishwabhuk.
Bhuk has two meanings. One is to just enjoy. To enjoy, or to eat also, from Bhuj. So, Bhute, to eat, to enjoy. It also means to protect. So, let's say this. Vishwam Bhunte
Bhunati
Palayati
Itiva
Vishwabhuk.
Vishwam
Bhunte, in this form of Bhuj, right? It means to enjoy in the form of eating. So the one who devours the universe at the time of Pralaya is Vishwabhuk. Also, in terms of all of the Bhoktas, In the all the jivas are booked as they enjoy the universe. Ishwara is the Vishwa book, the one who has 100 in Purusha Suktam, the one who has infinite mouths, infinite eyes, infinite hands. So every jiva is a bhokta, is an enjoyer, enjoys the universe, and in the form of every jiva, then Ishwara is a Vishwa book, an enjoyer of the universe. As the one who devours the universe, who eats it, he's also the Vishwa book. But then also Paliyati, if we take Bhunakti, the book is Bhunakti, then it's Paliyati, the one who protects. So these both of these meanings are here. So Swamiji will say for Vishwabhuk, the one who enjoys Bhunakti, or the one who enjoys Bhunakti, or the one who protects Bhunakti is Paliyati. So the one who enjoys protects the Vishwa. Okay.
The Vishwa is the individual?
The universe.
Or the universe.
He rules over the entire universe, protects, nourishes, and blesses it. Also takes it into himself. Eats it.
Okay. In Hindi, bhook is hunger.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, let's stop there and stop a little bit.